The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tires.
Greetings from the south of France for the Offside Rule, We Get It Euro special, the very first one that we're bringing you this summer. Lindsay Hooper and Kate Borsay sitting in sunny Marseille. And 48 hours on, we're feeling a little worse for wear, I will confess.
It's not even 40 hours after the game. We've been in Marseille since Friday. It's now the day after the game, and we are taking in a little bit of breakfast. Lindsay's been practicing her French, taking in a little bit of breakfast just to paint the picture, tell you where we are. We are in the Old Port area, and obviously if you've been watching the news, you'll know that all the trouble's really been centred around this area. It's actually really opposite us, across the port, across the water, where most of the trouble's been kicking off. There's a couple of pubs there. One's called the Queen Victoria, one's an Irish bar, and there's an alleyway between both pubs as well, and it was the scene of a lot of fighting. There's been a lot of disturbances over the last few days, but really, yesterday, that area was the epicentre of the worst of the trouble.
Yeah, when we got here, actually, into Marseille, there's a metro station, and you come out, and on the day that we arrived on Friday, which was just ahead of the opening ceremony and France's opening game against Romania, you come out, and actually, the scene was lovely at that time. It was beautiful, it was calm, it was still. We were actually in a brilliant mood because we'd had a fantastic journey here. We met some great people. A shout out to Gordon and Albie, who went to the Adele concert. Didn't enjoy it, by the way. They said that she was a bit dull.
Oh dear. Well, let's hope that they find this podcast a bit more interesting.
But they were very nice. They did as well plough us with champagne, which has been a theme for this trip. But we thought we'd looked out because we looked across the square. We didn't know where our hotel was at all. And it happened to be just where the Ferris wheel is. If you've seen the pictures in Marseille, we're directly behind that. So we were very lucky to be on the square. But what it also means is we've had a front row seat to all of the action and all of the trouble as well. And in those few hours, it descended into chaos. By 9 p.m, we were sat in a restaurant in this square, and we were actually ushered inside and locked in to watch the game.
This is on Friday night, so kind of first night here. We'd basically seen the England fans singing, being jolly, jumping on signs, starting to get a little bit rowdy. And there were tons of riot police, and the amount of riot police just increased and increased and increased. They got louder and louder, and then bottles started to be thrown, and then there was a little scuffle, and the police moved in. I've got some videos of it, actually. And actually, if you check out our Facebook account, there are several videos from throughout our experience here in Marseille there, so do have a look at them.
I'm not saying that the England fans are blameless, but from the bits that we witnessed with their very own eyes, what I would say is that as soon as a group of male fans are together, a big group, the police surrounded them, and I just think it was antagonising the situation. And as soon as they were getting a little loud, they were getting the tear gas out quite quickly. There were some fracas, of course, and they were trying to reduce problems, but I actually think it just escalated them.
It was insightful, and actually a lot of the fighting started after the tear gas had gone off, because what can you do without being identified when the tear gas goes off? Well, you can fight, can't you?
Because you can throw chairs and things that we'd seen like that.
So actually, the tear gas wasn't a great idea, and we saw at least three rounds of tear gas go off, some right in front of us in this restaurant, and I did go out and do some filming as well. I think, for me, don't stand and watch, fans, and then move in at the first hint. What we heard on the grapevine was that on Saturday morning there'd been a meeting between the English police here managing, or helping the French police manage the England fans and the French police, and they had told the police here in Marseille just to stand back and let the England fans exhaust themselves and only to move in if there was, you know, specifically a lot of trouble going on. And by all accounts, within a few hours on Saturday, they weren't adhering to that, and we saw more tear gas go off. What you've got to remember is that this is someone's home. You know, Marseille is a town where there are plenty of residents, plenty of people on that Saturday yesterday going shopping and enjoying this fabulous port area. When the tear gas went off, Lindsay, we were walking towards the Ferris wheel to do our filming, and I saw women with buggies running away. We saw young people running from the scene. So it just created mayhem.
And people listening to this, there is no doubt they will have seen some of the footage. And some of the footage looks horrendous. And there is no way I am excusing some of the England fans' behaviour on this. But what I will say is I don't think that the policing here has helped. I really don't. I think it's drawn attention. And if you wanted trouble, it makes it much easier to find it, doesn't it? When you know that there's tear gas being set off and an early time as well. in the fracas. I didn't think they needed to do it quite so soon. However, we're always going to get idiots, and we're always going to get fans that are coming out just purely trying to get their kicks and trying to cause violence and cause trouble, and it does not do us any favours in terms of giving England fans a good name.
No, I mean, this is a beautiful port area. We're actually sat opposite a couple of mega yachts, and when I mean mega yachts, Roman Abramovich has got nothing on these guys. These yachts are huge, big boats. It's a really lovely, picturesque area.
I'm waving to them to tell them that we'll just be about 10, 15 minutes more on the podcast, and then we'll be back on board to go home.
Hold the champagne, we're coming. Now, Marseille does have a bad rep in France, but we have seen nothing but really nice French people here. We've had a great experience here.
But we have experienced crime because one of our party had her bag stolen.
True, which you're going to get in any major city. But what I guess I'm essentially saying is that the riot police here have spoiled this town by literally circling the whole port area with back-to-back riot vans and by moving in too quickly.
But one of the things to point out with that is that England versus Russia for the entire tournament has been singled out as the one game that they knew there would be problems. It was the biggest terror threat as a game, and we've come out of that unscathed, so hopefully that will continue, thank goodness. Also, it was always going to be in France, England fans, England Russia, it was going to have problems. I just hope that doesn't follow as well with the England Wales game. I just hope now it's underway, the tournament's going, we've seen some brilliant football as well. What an absolute corking goal from Payet on the first day. We've seen Gareth Bale have his time in the limelight, and then Eric Dier scoring a brilliant free kick. It's been fantastic.
It has. And just to say, after the game yesterday, Marseille was very, very quiet, wasn't it? It was a huge contrast. The police basically closed every single restaurant. We got back to the old port here after the game at midnight, and it was like a different place, wasn't it? It was completely deserted. We had to walk quite far to find somewhere to go and get something to eat. So they had heavily managed it yesterday, and I think advised all the businesses in the old port to shut up early, because the epicentre of the trouble really happened on match day afternoon, and that's when, of course, we learnt about a couple more people fighting for their lives.
So what you can do is you can catch up with a little bit of what we got up to over the course of our couple of days in Marseille in France with videos. We've got some videos, some live Facebook videos we've been putting on our page, The Offside Rule, We Get It. Also, over on YouTube, we have a channel and we've got some more considered videos on there. So if you want to go and have a look, see the sights and sounds that we've been taking in. There is a little bit on the trouble as well. And in just a moment, we'll talk you through some other things that we've been experiencing here in France.
The female take on football.
We really do hope that you check out those videos as well, because we've had some great fun. We even did one of the videos and I conquered my vertigo because we went on a Ferris wheel. If you pay, you get three turns. I don't think I saw much because we were filming for the entire three rotations.
It's a fantastic video because of the great filming by me. No, because you get to see this old port area from a different angle. So yeah, pop onto our Facebook page and onto our YouTube channel as well, The Offside Rule TV. Should we talk about the football? Because we have seen a fair bit.
We have. Now, we have watched all of the games, pretty much most of them. We missed the first half of the Wales game because we were on our way to the Stade Velodrome for the England match at that point, but we saw the second half when we got there. So all of the games we've watched here in Marseille, in the local port area, either on TV screens, within our hotel for a little bit, and then we went to Stade Velodrome to see England live, and we're in the stadium. I have to say, first of all, Stade Velodrome, I'm a little bit in love with that stadium.
It's a beautiful stadium, and the real shame is it's mostly empty during the Ligue 1 season because Marseille don't have a huge football following. It is a work of art. In fact, I would even go, and I hope this isn't unpatriotic of me, I even love it a little bit more than Wembley.
Let's talk about the game that we came here to see. We've talked about how much we like the Stade Velodrome. Both of us agree on that. But do we agree on England's performance? And do we agree on how we got our campaign underway?
Well, in that stadium before kickoff, it's the most excited that I've ever seen an England crowd. And we've been to a fair few England games now, and we've travelled abroad with them a fair bit as well. That's the most pumped up I've been, the most pumped up I've seen the England crowd for a long time. And I'll tell you what, that atmosphere, that feeling, that energy remained for about half an hour.
We were on our feet for half an hour, weren't we? For the whole 45 minutes.
Yeah. First. I've never seen the England fans sing so much. We saw some great stuff on the pitch. In that first half an hour, we saw confidence, we saw enthusiasm, we saw drive, and we understood why Roy took such a youthful team. It was really encouraging. I've never heard the crowd so loud. And we were all waiting for that goal, basically, all waiting for them to finish something off and for us to get ahead and settle down and carry on with that pace.
Well, we certainly did take the game to them. My concern is when we are on top like that and we are having the attacking nous and flair to really try and silence teams, if we don't do the silencing, we don't get the ball in the back of the net, then the heads drop. And I felt that when we came out for the second half. I had this feeling going in at 0-0, that wouldn't be a good dressing room at half time because you'd feel like you deserve to be ahead. And then Russia came out with a bit more aplomb, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I think we were fortunate for the first 10 minutes because we were still trying to find our shape. I didn't think that we looked quite switch on enough in that first 10 minutes of the second half. Susceptible. So when we went ahead through Eric Dier, which was a brilliant free kick, we were obviously euphoric. And you talk about the atmosphere. It was akin to Wembley because there were so many England fans there outnumbering the Russians. So it did feel like a home match by all essence. But I just felt that Roy, first of all, should have changed things a bit sooner than he did in the second half.
We were screaming for a sub from 60 minutes. And he could say, well, you know, within 5 or 10 minutes of that, we got a goal. But at the same time, we got a goal and then we let it go. We should have been 2 up by that point.
We also mentally need to be prepared for having the large lion's share of possession. And if it is stalemate, being able to carry through to 90 minutes and just having that faith that we can get the goal like we did with Eric Dier, but then shut up shop. And in the final 10 minutes, I have to say, I was quaking. I knew that goal was coming because it's just something that we do time and time again, and it needs addressing. The other thing to say, which has been a huge talking point from this match, is what is Harry Kane doing taking corners? What's he doing taking the free kicks? Why isn't he in the box? Why isn't he getting on the end of those, timing his runs? He looked tired. I didn't think Harry Kane had the best game, actually.
No. In fact, by full time, a lot of the players look very tired. There definitely should have been some subs earlier on from Roy. And as we sit here in this old Port Lindsay, and we can see plenty of England fans walking by, because this has been the hub for England fans, be that good or be that bad, as we've learned over the last few days, as we've experienced. I can see, you know, plenty of fans still proud to wear the shirt. And I think if I'm going to reflect on it, I predicted 1-1 for that game. But I predicted 1-1 because I thought we'd be a little bit nervy. I thought we'd be a bit like France in their opening game. I thought we'd just be sizing it up, settling into it. What I saw in the first half an hour has really encouraged me. After half an hour, I never thought it would be 1-1. I thought we'd be up and up. So it was the score that I predicted. What I was most impressed with was what England gave in that first 30 minutes. That's what we've got to take to the next game. And for that reason, I am encouraged, and I hope England learn from this.
The one thing I did hear quite a lot on our journey back, we had to, by the way, walk from the stadium. You couldn't get on any metros. We must have spent so much time yesterday walking to metro stations to find that they were closed. So we did quite a frog march back, and listening to the fans talking, there was a lot of bad talk about Raheem Sterling. Now, I know that we were both impressed with him for the first 25 minutes, but yeah, he should have been substituted earlier.
Yeah.
Will we learn from this? How do we feel? I mean, I feel like that was a defeat. It feels like a defeat, even though it was a draw.
Yeah.
And with Wales winning and at this current moment topping the group as well, they're all euphoric. They go into that game with bundles of confidence.
Yeah. I wasn't worried about the Russia game. I was worried, actually, more about the Slovakia game. And so the fact that we've got this draw, okay, fine, basically we need to win our next two games. It's not rocket science, is it, to be able to win that group? We can so easily win the group still. So look, take that, put it in the locker. We've learnt our lesson. What we've seen, however, encourages me more than it worries me.
My final point will be to Roy is, if you're going to bring 5 strikers...
Use them!
Use them!
Watch videos and hit subscribe to our YouTube channel, Offside Rule TV.
We will start, though, with the opening ceremony. Now, from that point of view, I have to confess, we were having a bit of a chit-chat whilst that was going on. I wasn't overly impressed. It didn't engage my attention too much. I thought the pre-match build-up in the England game, actually, was more entertaining than the opening ceremony was.
There was a lot of sort of happy, housey, hardcore-y music.
Yeah, that's not us, is it, really?
Yeah. There was a woman singing. It was all a bit calamitous for me.
After that, we did watch and we did pay full attention as we got locked in because some trouble was happening outside. It meant that we had a brilliant view. It's like our very own TV screen inside this restaurant where we were watching the opening game between France and Romania. How France struggled in that first half, I really worried for them. It was very nervy display from them. And as host, I get that the pressure was on them. But Romania, they had the better chances in that first half.
They didn't have anything to lose, did they, Romania?
No, not at all.
But they just went for it. And why not? You know, you're playing the the tournament host, imagine the atmosphere there. Imagine how pumped up that stadium was. And so if you're Romania, you're going to go out and you're going to have some fun and you're going to take it to France, aren't you? Of course you are. France, yep, nervy in the first half. It took Giroud to kind of settle things up there. And then the goal from Payet, I mean...
Beautiful.
Fantastic. What a great goal for a first game.
So let's move this on then and talk about the hosts and how we think they will do. Now, I know that you're tipping them for great things in this tournament. You've gone for them to win it.
I certainly have. Yeah, I think Didier Deschamps, the manager, was captain at France 98. We know what happened there. I just think there's something about this French team. They've got a huge youth contingent who are now older, who are now matured and ready to win this tournament. Whether you're looking at Griezmann, who's had such a fantastic season at Atletico, and Paul Pogba, they've got several stars in that team. And I think they're old enough, mature enough to carry the weight of that responsibility. And being the home nation, I think they're going to do fantastically well. They are my tip to win.
I just disagree with you slightly. I do think they'll go far. I think they'll go on a really lovely run now that they've got that monkey off their back with the first game. But I think in the semi-finals, I just see within their squad there's this stuttering, because the way that they didn't cope too well in that first half signaled to me that what might happen is when the pressure is on again, there's another team, a better team than Romania, might punish them more. So I think they might get to the semi-final stages, which would be great for the country here, and it would be brilliant for the atmosphere for the rest of the games for them to progress quite far. I think if France go out early or if they don't make it out the group stages, which I don't think will happen, but it wouldn't be great for the tournament. So I am hoping they do well, but I don't think they'll win. I'm going with Germany instead, who I also got in the sweepstake. I just think in terms of, we had that period with Spain, didn't we, where they were world and European champions and really dictating football, and I think at the moment it's the Germans' time. They are world champions and they could be European champions too. So I will stick with them. I got them in the sweepstake.
Well, I got Switzerland in the sweepstake, and they're a great team for me, actually. One that I'm pleased that I got. I don't think that they're going to win it, but I'm certainly going to enjoy watching them. As I said in my preview, which is on offsiderulepodcast.com, there's only one thing to say about Switzerland. There are a few more, of course, but Shaqiri is all I'm going to say. Look, they had a strong World Cup, and I am excited to see how Switzerland do in this tournament. There was a great fact before that Switzerland-Albania game where basically Albania has six players who could have qualified for Switzerland and vice versa. So, and Switzerland's known as being basically a team of immigrants or children of immigrants. So it's a very multicultural team. There's a great story in that Switzerland team too for the Xhaka family. Brothers Granit, who's Arsenal's new 30 million signing, and Toulon lined up on opposing sides.
That was a really good story, and I'm glad you brought that to my attention, because that seemed to pass me by in all my magazine reading. I did do a lot of magazine reading on the way here on the Eurostar. What I will say is you have the benefit of having seen Switzerland. They've obviously got off to a good start here. I've not had the benefit of seeing my sweepstakes side yet, so Germany we've not seen yet. We're here in Marseille, we'll get home and then we'll be able to watch them back in the UK. My only concern with Germany is that they have a real lack of strikers. The fact that they had to recall Mario Gomez, I think, goes to show that they just lack some finishing up front. So that would be my concern. However, I do think they'll probably plough in with the goals from midfield, and they've got enough quality in the side to get really far. And I'm thinking they'll be in the final and perhaps do it. But with them in the final, we'll have to wait and see. It could be a big humdinger if it's Spain-Germany, for instance.
Well, even more so if it's France-Italy. Now, that would be a final that for the history books people would like to see again. I'm going to pick out a dark horse, or someone I'm keeping an eye on as well as Switzerland, and that's Poland. They were co-hosts 4 years ago, and I was out there watching a few of those games. Their tally of 33 goals was more than any other nation in qualifying. So for me, if you want to see a goal fest, check out Poland. Why? Lewandowski, well, he never used to have any support, did he? But now he's got Ajax striker Milik with him. They've got some great partnerships going on the right flank as well. Very strong team. There's not a fantastic depth in that team, but I think in terms of quality and goals, they're definitely one to watch. Recent friendly wins as well. So if you check out what they've been doing recently, wins over Iceland, Serbia and Czech Republic. No mean feat, by the way. Iceland having a fantastic qualifying campaign and making it through unexpectedly to this tournament as well. So yeah, something for me tells me that Poland might be ones to surprise everyone.
Well, prior to the final warm-up games before the tournament started, I was starting to rave a little bit about how I thought Austria would go on a great run. Now, Austria in a European Championship for the first time in a long time, and you look at the squad, and they have a lot of Premier League players. They've got Christian Fuchs, who's their captain, who, of course, was also part of the winning Leicester City team and won the Premier League. And you look, you've got Alaba and some quality in that side. And I thought, you know what? The thing that I'm sensing here is that they're a team that have no expectation on them. They could come here, play freely, and also have a real good team essence about them. I just got that feeling that they're the sort of team that are really playing for each other. However, having seen their final warm-up game coming in and a horrendous own goal, I just thought, I've been telling everyone in the office at work about Austria and how you should have them as your outside tip to get out of the group stages. I'm not so sure now. Again, we've not seen them play yet so far in this tournament as we record this, but as a team to watch, and certainly for the future, I think they are a team that's developing, and certainly players from Austria are starting to come over to England, playing in the Premier League more. We're seeing much more from them. And I'm interested to see how they do.
Yeah. Kevin Wimmer plays for Tottenham, doesn't he? So yeah.
And you've got Prodl, who's playing at Watford.
Well, look, we're going to keep our beady eyes across this tournament. We are not out all the time. We're going back home now, actually. We're about to jump on the train to Paris to catch a Eurostar. But we're back out in a couple of weeks' time.
We are. We're going to bring you another special a bit later on in the tournament at the round of 16 stage, where we'll be back in Paris. Also, though, we will keep the videos coming. Kelly Summers is going to be doing videos from the England Games as well as us. So keep an eye on the YouTube page. Also, please give us a like on our Facebook page, The Offside Rule. We get it in brackets. Find us, give us a like, watch the Facebook live videos, and also follow our live tweets, because we've had some brilliant traction from a few of the tweets that we had from the game yesterday. So, plaudits to our team, and we have to just name and shame. Well, we won't name and shame and give him any more coverage, but someone stole one of our tweets, didn't they?
They did, and UEFA retweeted them, so we were like, that's our tweet, what are you doing? Anyway, we're not bitter.
At Offside Rule Pod on Twitter, give us a follow, and we will speak to you very soon.
Yes! Oh, yes! The Offside Rule We Get It is brought to you by Continental Tires.